Old Testament and New Testament reading here from Psalm 112, verse 9 initially. We'll get underway. Psalm 112, verse 9, it says this, speaking of God, He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. Literally, He is scattered abroad. And then from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this will be our main passage for the message today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. Now I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, see if this sounds familiar. He has scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. I want to share a message entitled Seeds with you today, and I'm going to read verse 10 again, then we're going to pray here of 2 Corinthians 9, so I hope you didn't close your Bibles yet. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for this church, for everyone you've brought today, and I praise you for all that you are. I ask you now to come, Lord Jesus, and to fill this place, and each one of us with your Spirit, that your word may go forth in truth and love and in power. Just wash away the dirt and the grime of this week, Father, we pray. We give it to you. Open our hearts, plow the ground of our hearts to receive what you have to say to us. May your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Yep, it's me again. It's good to be with you guys. Bless you. It's a privilege to be with you. But I want to share a message from the passage. You may have thought, oh no, he's going to share on giving. Oh no, I have to protect my wallet. And the context of this is finances. Paul was referring to an offering that was taken up really throughout much of the world for some needy believers. And that's the immediate context of this passage. But I want to look specifically at seeds and how it applies. And I pray that the Lord will really bring some revelation to you this day. The first word that Paul uses here when he refers to God, the God who gives seed to the sower and bread for food, is a New Testament word. It's the word sperma. And it's the word from which we get the English word sperm. And there's a reason for this. It comes from a root sperane, a Greek word sperane. It's not too impressive with Greek, believe me. My Greek is not to impress anyone. But it's from a root called sperane, which just means to sow, to throw seed out there, to give seed. But there's a certain disposition to this word that I want you to recognize, because here he says, God is the one who gives seed to us, seed to the sower, and bread for food. The way sperma works is there's something specific about it. Sperma brings an expected result. Now, I have a question that's rhetorical, but I'm going to make you answer it anyway. How many of you have ever had anything unexpected, like a phone coming on in the middle of it? Have ever had anything unexpected happen in your life? Let's see a show of hands. Oh, come on! If you've lived longer than 14 minutes, you've had, unless you were born, 12 minutes ago, you've had something. Even the birth itself was unexpected, probably. We've all had something unexpected, but the nature of this word is something that is more predictable. A sperma, the seed that's referred to, and by the way, just so you know, when I talk about seeds, it can be finances, it can be the Word of God, it can be your calling in life, it can be people that God sends to you. It covers a wide, wide variety, a wide range. But with a word like this, there's something specific. So in other words, like the human word sperm, you kind of go, if such and such happens, in about 40 weeks, we're going to expect such and such. You're talking about a human child and conception. But also, if you're sowing plants in a, you know, in a garden, if you sow a particular type of seed, you expect that plant to come up, don't you? You don't want to get rutabagas out of your daisies or anything like that, do you? You don't expect that. And what I would submit to you this morning is that you and I, and much of the church today, have become so reliant on this notion that if I do this, if I sow this, then this will absolutely happen in such and such time. It will be predictable. It is expected. It will happen. I can rely on it. And so there is that element of truth in this word seed, in this passage. God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Part of what you expect from seed is bread, correct? Provision. In the financial realm especially. You know, one of our challenges in life, just in living in this fallen world, is found in the domain of the financial. And that's the context that Paul's talking about. And so we go, okay, I sow this. Well, Lord, but I gave to the so-and-so. And I really expect you to give back the same thing. You know, maybe you could multiply it a little bit. That'd be kind of nice. Being God and everything. And so, but we're tempted, see, to live in that. Do you ever wonder why in a Christian bookstore these step books, I call them, are so successful? 7 steps to so-and-so. 12 principles of so-and-so. You've noticed this? And you're tempted to go, yeah, you know, I'm on step number 6 out of the 7. And when I get that 7th one done, bam! I'm going to be, fill in the blank, a leader. Wealthy. Healthy. Wise, godly, have a brain in my head. I don't know what it is. Whatever the promise is of that book. One of the reasons that you and I are designed to look for formulas, and this notion of sperma falls right into our wiring, doesn't it? Where we go, God, I can't figure out. I know you're great and you're sovereign, and we, especially as Presbyterians, we love throwing these big words around, but we don't necessarily know what they mean all the time. But you're so beyond me. I just wish I could figure out how this works. I wish I knew that if I did this and this, then this would happen, maybe even in this amount of time. Well, that's actually the disposition of the word sperma in Scripture. It's something that produces an expected result. Let me look with you at some Scriptures that indicate this. You don't even have to turn to the first one. It's an awkward story. We are in church, but it's Genesis chapter 38. Judah had 2 sons. Judah, one of the tribes, the sons of Israel. The first one's name was Er. Let's go back. Here's my warped sense of humor. Judah to his wife. Hey, great, we're having a kid. Well, she says, what do you want to name him? Okay, it is. Got it. What a great name. Then he has a second one named Onah. If you know the story, Judah takes a wife for named Tamar. And doesn't have any children. And you don't want to be in shoes. Not only did he have an awkward name. I mean, this is a guy named Adger telling you he had an awkward name. But it simply says this in Scripture. Was wicked and God took his life. Yeah, don't name your kid was wicked, God took his life. So according to custom, it was Onan, the next son's job. To join with Tamar and raise up a child, but the child would be Ur's child. It would be have Ur's name. Great, we need 2 Ur's. It's not bad enough that Abraham left Ur. Now we're talking about Er. But here God raises, God says, the rule is, Onan, you need to go into Tamar and you need to raise up a child. And the Bible says this, a little awkward, but it says that rather than raising up a child, offspring, seed, for his brother, he spilled his seed on the ground. Physical seed, obviously talking about sperm. He just spilled his seed on the ground. And God took his life as well. Part of the problem there was not just the reality of that physical act. Part of the problem was there was, in God's eyes, in the culture of the day, an expected result that was to come. And Onan, the second brother, said, no, I'm not going to do that. See, that's one illustration of it. A little awkward, admittedly. Secondly, Matthew chapter 13, a little more familiar. You can breathe easy now. Can't believe that guy would talk about this in church, for heaven's sake. Women and children present and everything. Matthew 13 is the parable of Jesus. verses 24 and following, Jesus presented another parable to them, and I'm not going to necessarily read it, but just so you have it before you. Kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed wheat in his field. The word is sperma. A specific seed, it was wheat. What do you think he expected? Spelt? I doubt it. But his servants go out after a while and say, hey, master, along with the wheat, there's a weed called darnel coming up, really tares. We would call it tares often. And interestingly, he's not like, oh, those darn weeds. He says, no, an enemy has done this. Someone came and deliberately sowed a weed, this harmful thing that looks like wheat in its initial stages, into my field. So, of course, their question is, well, do you want us to go pull those out now through all these fields? And he says, no, if you pull them out, you're going to pull out the wheat also. Just wait. Then we're going to divide it. We'll burn the tares, of course, and put the wheat in the barn. There was a specific result, but what happened with that expected result was something unexpected. Now, that seemed to have been deliberate. An enemy had done that. But I want you to notice this. Sperma produces the expected result, usually in the expected way, usually in the expected time. I like to make fun of the disciples because they're a lot like us, like me. But James and John came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 and following. They said, hey, we have a request. Don't deny us. Interestingly, if you know the story, you know in Matthew 20, the parallel passage, their mom comes to Jesus and says, hey, I want you to take care of my boys here, you know. And their request, as you may well know, is, would you grant that when your kingdom comes, we can sit one on your right and one on your left? And what we have to understand about this passage is not just, hey, we're dumb. Because their expectation was a normal Jewish expectation. It went like this. The Messiah will come, pardon the frankness, whip the rears of our enemies, militarily, the Romans at that time, and then take up a kingdom right here on this earth. So when James and John ask this, they're thinking, this might be outside, right at the gates of our village where we grew up. We've got this chair. Jesus, we're on either side, and we're going to all our friends. We're beside the king. We're beside the king. That's what their thinking was. They had an expectation. And Jesus said, it's not mine to grant. He didn't have the heart, I don't think, to say, you know who's going to be on my left since I'm on the right hand of the Father? Yeah, Yahweh. Sorry, boys. You got edged out by the Lord of all. Not a bad day. There's an expectation in this. All would be well, we could live happily ever after as Christians if that was the only kind of seed there was in the kingdom of God. But now I'm going to throw you the curveball. In that same verse, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, written by Paul, I don't think he had a stunt double author come in the middle of the verse and change it. The second use of the word seed. Now, he who supplies seed, sperma, to the sower and bread for food will supply and increase or multiply your seed, different word, for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Allow me to introduce the second seed from the same root, sperain. This is the word sparon. Sparon, S-P-O, transliterated R-O-N. We get our English word spore from it. If you know anything about the botanical world, which I know very little, spore is like the rowdy, red-headed little kid brother of sperma. Because spore, if sperma is predictable and brings an expected result in a certain amount of time that looks like the parent, and it's manageable, and it's understandable, and it's what it's desirable. Spore is the exact opposite of that. Spore is totally unpredictable. Botanically, there are spores that grow and look nothing like the parent plant. What's up with that? Spores are almost indestructible. They have found spores hundreds and sometimes over 1,000 years old, watered them, and they've grown and produced something. Spores blow by the wind, wherever the wind carries them. They're not necessarily the kind in their disposition. They're not the kind who are carefully laid in rows. You ever read, I think Control Freaks write seed packets. Have you ever read them? I just laugh. 1/4 inch deep. 4 7/8 inch apart. Water lightly twice a day. During a new moon. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Spores? They fly wherever they fly. They either sit there for a few hundred years or they grow depending on what they bump into. That's the second kind of seed God's talking about in this verse. And I don't want you to miss this, beloved. This is critical. God supplies sperma to the sower and bread for food. But when it comes to what he gives to you and to me, it's spores. It's seed that is made to be scattered, entrusted to the wind of his Spirit. It is seed that at the very heart of it defies your notion and mine of control in its very nature. See, we are what I call sperma Christians. If I give financially, Lord, I really would like for you to bless me financially. And if you've lived a while with the Lord, you know it doesn't always work that way. You're not naive. But it'd be nice if I did this. If I was loving to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, they would be loving back to me. Or my teenager, or whoever. But in the kingdom of God, God throws us this curveball and he says, you know what? I'm going to give you the seed that's for food and bread. That is predictable. But you know what your seed is? It's a spore. And it's unpredictable. You can't control it. And this gets a little difficult, doesn't it? It's a little challenging. I want you to think a little bit. Just take a moment. Where in your life, if you follow the Lord for a while, have you come to the situation where you say, why is this going this way? I thought if I fill in the blank, read my Bible X amount a day, prayed, fasted, came to church, studied, listened carefully to the sermon, did whatever, that this would go more easily, this would work out, that my family would be a little easier on me, or that so-and-so would get saved, or that this would happen, or that. What if God deliberately wove into his kingdom an element of uncertainty and the unexpected? And it was actually part of his kingdom. It wasn't just, oh, the devil sent that, or oh, life. And God said, no, I deliberately am sending you things that are unexpected to see if you're willing, because I read the passage in Psalm 112 and verse 9 here, and there's a principle there that's talked about. It says, he has scattered abroad. He's given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Where does our English word sporadic come from? It's not an accident. It's the same root from the Greek, sporon, sporos. There's scattering, beloved, that God is calling you and me to do. But if we insist on living a sperma Christian life, which is an element of life, I'll warrant you. But if we insist on maintaining control and knowing what's going to happen and it being predictable and expected, then you and I can miss the very heart of the kingdom of God. The fact that he said, you're my scatterers. You're my fungus. Congratulations. You're mushrooms. I've already dug myself a hole talking about sperm. Let's get even worse. You want to hear about the sex life of a mushroom? Spores are both asexual and sexual. In other words, a spore can travel by itself hundreds of miles, land in the right environment, boom, produce a plant. There are other spores, though, that land and have to wait for another spore to come and touch it and join it. Pause a second. You ever wondered why you've heard sermons all your life, and then you hear a sermon one day, and something goes, bam! Is it possible that the spore of the Word of God is coming from that preacher or that teacher? And it's meeting a spore that's been laying in your heart for 27 and a half years from a sermon you heard whenever. And suddenly those two things join and there's a moment of revelation. Or is it possible that one of those asexual spores lands in your heart and it's sitting there, and then the Spirit of God and the water of the Spirit of God begins to move in a certain context, and it waters that and it springs to life? Love your wives like the church. What did Christ do? He sanctified her. How? By the washing of the water of the Word. With the Word. You ever wonder about that? One of the great joys of preaching is how much the Lord is in control, because people come up to you sometimes and say, I love the way you said fill in the blank. And you go, I didn't say that. I didn't even come close to saying that. But the Lord said that because there was a spore in your heart. And I happened to be the one that had the privilege of either saying, come Holy Spirit, and the water of the Spirit brought it to life, or I threw out another spore, I scattered one. I didn't throw it like a dart at a dartboard. Ooh, I got you, man. I just threw it out there, and the Spirit of God said, I got this, buddy. 63 years ago, that kid was sitting in a revival meeting in the middle of nowhere, playing with his sister's hair, but a spore from something an old preacher was yelling got stuck in his heart, and now I'm going to bring it to life. Ever think about how awesome God is and how He set up His kingdom? It's sporadic, and there's a principle of scattering, and I want to challenge you this day to be willing to be scatterers. It's not all in neat rows. It doesn't all come out nice and tidy, does it? Every spiritual gift has a fleshly backside. I like to say that. And you all have gifts. God has given them to you by the Holy Spirit. But when you're in the Spirit, it's great, and God is exalted, and His Word is fulfilled. But you know what? When we're in the flesh, it's ugly. Today I'm going to pick on one. Some of you may have it. It's in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. It's the gift of giving. Because I've discovered in ministry in many years that the fleshly backside of the gift of giving, you know what it is? Since we're on a financial passage, wanting to control your giving. I'll give to you, but you make sure you don't spend it on. If you're in the flesh, I am not buying new carpet for this sanctuary. If I give, this needs to go to... Now, I'm not saying you can't direct it sometimes. God may lead you to it, say, give to this mission or this missionary or whatever. I understand that. But the fleshly backside of giving, ironically, is to attach strings to it and try and control it. I've heard a number of testimonies coming lately of people that the Lord has said, you know what, I want you to go start giving cash to the homeless. What's your first thought? They're going to blow it on drugs, God. I know a story from the West Coast of a man who gave it to a derelict, a drunkard, $20 cash. Guess what the guy did? He went and got drunk. And guess what happened on the way out of the bar? God smacked him upside the head, instantly sobered him. He got saved. But that's not good stewardship. But that's a spore. Am I saying be foolish? No. Be led of the Spirit. But listen, we're called to scatter. We're called to scatter. We cannot control every word, every seed that we sow. And it is part of the kingdom of God that we say, you know what, Lord? I'm willing to let it rip. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to trust that maybe you're bigger than their addiction or his or her problem or how poorly they handle their finances. Maybe you're bigger than that. Are you willing to walk in that according to the principle of scattering, according to the spore and the truth of the kingdom of God? Are you willing to do so? Let me give you a painful illustration. I should not enjoy this much. Picture, if you will, the parents, grandparents, nieces, nephews. I want you to picture an idyllic scene, a big field full of wildflowers. Running through that field are your little chubby-faced cherub grandkids or kids when they were young, dressed in their Easter best, little fat hands running across, hitting the tops of the wildflowers. Little chunky feet, little curly hair running through there, their heads thrown back in laughter. And you delight in it. It's beautiful. You're supposed to delight in that. Those plants, by the way, were wild and spores. Take the same child and the same curly hair and the same chubby feet and chunky little hands and the same head thrown back in laughter and the same sunshine and the same birds and the same field, but make it now your carefully cultivated vegetable garden. And instead of the tops of the wildflowers, their little chunky hands are knocking tomatoes left and right just as they ripen. And their little chunky feet are smashing them into impromptu salsa. Even as the peppers are flying, their little chunky feet and their little fat bellies are utilizing weight to crush your undug potatoes into mashed potatoes before their time. Rutabagas, cucumbers everywhere. And what happens? You go, "Stop it! Stop it! That's my garden." What's the difference? It's the same kid, you delight in him. It's the same laughter that thrills your heart. It's the same sunshine birds that God created. It may even be the same field. The difference is, I worked on this. I planted seeds. I kept the stupid birds away, the stinking bunny rabbits. I pulled those weeds, and I expect produce from my garden so that in a few weeks I can be so sick of it that I start leaving bags of it on your doorstep. That's what I expect out of it. That's the only difference. Because, see, that was a spare in my garden. Do you see the difference? Painfully and I hope humorous. Same exact scenario with the exception of this. One was grown by spores. The other was grown by sperma. Both are parts of the kingdom of God. God is the one who supplies the seed for sowing and the bread for food. Make no mistake. Vegetable garden's his just as much as the field of wildflowers is, but both are part of the kingdom of God. Are you and I willing to trust him enough to scatter the seed that he gives us without insisting on controlling it? Are we willing to do that? Real quickly, I have time. Oh, there's a third kind of seed. Why is this, as though this isn't painful enough? There's a third kind of seed, and it's the transliterate K-O-K-K-O-N. It's the word from which we get English cocoon. Anytime in Scripture you see something about a mustard seed, or unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and die, it remains alone, it's this word, cocon or cocoon, that we get from. As though the sperma-spora thing isn't hard enough, I bet you can guess what the disposition of this particular word is. It's simply this. It's a seed that has to die in order to live. I hope in sharing this, my goal, beloved, is that you be able to look at your life and go, "Okay, Lord, what are you doing?" It may be unexpected, but it's you. It's you. There are things in our lives that God gives us, and the very goal of them is that they be sown, laid down, and die. They are good things. They are seeds for our life. They can be relationships that we treasure. They could be all kinds of things that God entrusts to us. But the reason that God has set up this third principle in his kingdom as far as seeds is simply this. You and I cannot access the resurrection power of God without death. And God is not squeamish about going after your visions and dreams and your relationships and your expectations. Yes, your jobs, your finances, whatever it may be. If it is a cocoon in your life, it is something that God says, "I am going to exponentially multiply this to build my kingdom. And I'm willing to walk with you through this. I'm willing to take you through this." All of life is not predictable. It all cannot be sperma. That's not the way it works. God says in Isaiah 55, he talks about his word, and so often what we think is, yes, his word will not return void, and we hear the fact that it won't be void, but we fail to think about the fact that it's going to return to him. says in that passage, like rain and snow that come down and water the earth and cause it to bear fruit and spring up and produce, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing the purpose for which I sent it. All three of these seeds come from the mouth of God. All three of them are from Him. All three of them will accomplish what He desires. All three of them will fulfill His glory in your life and mine. And you have a calling, beloved. Each one of you has a calling. And you have gifts from God. And your role is to get in the moving that He has put for you, the moving of His Spirit, the flow of His love and His power, in such a way that the seeds that have been planted in you from before you were born will come to pass. In Jeremiah 1, he says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and at that time I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Another cool idea, by the way, which I'll submit to you, seeds can be beyond generations. Seeds can go down through generations. They can lie dormant through a person's life to the next one and to the next one and to the next one, and then come forth, spring forth in power. That's what Jesus did, the Messiah. For many generations they waited for Him. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life, in John 6. Do you get this? You look like deer in headlights. If I could take a photo and post it, or a video, I would. Do you get this? Is this hitting home? Is it hitting home? Okay, you don't have to be so sad. This is good stuff. It's good news. Good news. Are you willing to scatter? Are you willing to scatter and let the Lord do what He wants to in and through your life? Are you willing to be challenged? Are you willing to say, you know what, Lord, I give up control of the seed You've put into my life. The seed that You've given to me, I will go stand at the edge of my well-cultivated, neatly weeded garden and throw it up